What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We are here at the Wormhole. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We got it all taken care of here. We're going to talk about Independence versus West Dubuque. We're going to talk about the inner city duel, Dubuque Hempstead and Senior. And I'm sitting down with the GOAT, Randy Stewart. We're going to get some ads here. We'll be right back. So before we get this podcast rolling, I want to ask you guys a question. Are you guys looking to upgrade your mower? Are you needing a new snowblower for the upcoming wrestling season? If you are, go no further than Raider Outdoor Power, located at 2580 Rockdale Road in Key West. The good folks at Raiders will make sure you are set up for the season to have your lawn looking like a pro-level golf course or get that snow off your driveway so you can get to where you're going in a hurry. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast, Raider Outdoor Power. Guys, go to Moskies. Just do yourself a favor and go to Moskies. Moskies Barbecue, located in Cascade, has some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Located right off the 136 exit in Cascade, Bryce and Shauna do nothing but great work. You've seen their food truck in Dubuque. You've seen their catering at weddings. Now go to the brick and mortar and enjoy some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Great people, great wrestling family. They love wrestling as much as you guys listening. So do yourself a favor, stop down Moskies, get some barbecue today. Are you looking to restore rusty old metal parts to like-new conditions or protect brand-new components with durable, attractive, long-lasting finishes? Lane's Custom Steel, located in Benton, Wisconsin, can help with the metal finishings and metal coatings, offering a full range of custom metal restoration using powder coating for individuals and businesses. Contact Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's Lanes, L-A-N-E-Z, customsteel@gmail.com. Let's get this podcast rolling. All right, thank you guys so much from our sponsors. I appreciate everything you guys do with the podcast. Support them. Do everything you guys can to help them out as well. Rolling into the Christmas break here this past week, just want to wish you guys a merry, hope you guys had a great Merry Christmas. You know, we're rolling in the new year. Everyone's into a break. But before everyone went off to break, a couple teams did wrestle before Santa showed up. You know, Tuesday night, Wallet wrestled Bellevue. You know, like I said, they've been traveling together all year. It seemed like they've been at like three different dual competitions this year. Wallet with a win over Bellevue, 47-21. They wrestled at St. Columbkills Elementary here in Dubuque, one of the Holy Family schools. It was a really cool concept. Like, I've been talking about it all year. They did a K-8 duel. Then they wrestled the girls' duel, and then they had the boys' duel. Everything that I saw, the gym was packed. I mean, obviously, for an elementary school gym, you know, it was a pretty intimate setting, but they got a lot of people to come watch wrestling and kind of, in my opinion, grow the sport. You know, some teams have to do it this way. Some teams need to have different ways to promote the sport in their communities. And I think Waller and Bellevue both do a great job of that. I mean, especially, I mean, in a concept like this where, you know, you're exposing the entire realm of wrestling from the time you're a little kid, girls and boys. So good on them. You know, you love to see that. I know Waller currently right now, they are 13-4, I believe, at the time of this recording. So they've had a good season so far. You know, I think, you know, the dual schedule, we'll talk about that with Cascade as well. You know, that helps them out a lot. Cascade took three duels in a quad with Northeast Goose Lake, Midland, and then Savannah West Carroll. They're out of Illinois. Cascade got the leg up on Midland from a week ago. They took that L from Midland, and then they bounced back and got that duel back. So, good win for the Cougars. They are currently sitting 15-8 right now, which kind of blows my mind considering that we're at the halfway point of the year, you know, with 23 duels that they've competed in. But, you know, Class 1A... Class 2A a little bit, the River Valley Conference, you know, you're going to wrestle 3-4 duels a night. And then if you load up your beginning half of the season with dual tournaments, you know, you're going to catch 4-5 duels there. So that does add up. I know come second half, they wrestle down at Highland Riverside. That's an individual tournament. Then they also have the Anamosa tournament. I believe that has turned into a individual tournament as well. When I was in high school, it was a dual tournament, but that is also, you know, kind of rolling for them as well. So good for the Cougars. I know Coach Thompson's doing good things out there. They got some solid numbers. They're rolling in the right direction. So solid stuff for them. Thursday night, Hempstead had wrestled Senior, and man, they took it to them.
One of the only intercity duels for the year. Hempstead came out at 72-3. For the Rams, Garrett Schumacher prevented the shutout. He got a last-minute takedown for the win over the, for the Rams. I'm still pushing for Dubuque senior man. I think that, you know, it is a slow roast. They have to keep that, you know, keep building, get their confidence going. And I think over time, they'll still be building stuff. I'm not worried about them at all. Especially against a really good team like Hempstead's. You know, Hempstead's going into the break with a 4-0 dual record. They have three individual team tournaments. They're currently ranked 6th as a dual team by the Iowa Wrestling Coaches and Official Association. So, you know, Hempstead's wrestling good. Waller's wrestling solid. Senior, you know, they're building. So, you know, it's good things to have here in Dubuque currently. You know, I think this is probably one of the better seasons I've seen in a while, where, you know, there's more than one team in the city that's picking up some steam. So hopefully the second half of the season goes well for the rest of them. I know Hempstead's got the Bettendorf shootout in a couple weeks. That's a big tournament, 2-day tournament, just like the Fort Madison one. And then also, you know, coming up January 11th, before you know it, you know, Hempstead and West Dubuque will be wrestling in the county clash. And I think that'll be a fun duel to talk about. We'll be talking about that in depth here probably next week. Then speaking of West Dubuque, they hosted Independence on Thursday night. Not really the result they wanted. The Mustangs and Independence, they took the duel 47-28 over the Bobcats. I do know that West Dubuque had some illness running through their wrestling room. I was talking to Coach Cleary on Wednesday night. You know, he said, you know, we're going to put guys out there. He just seems like every other day, you know, the guy that he thinks is going to be the guy comes down with sick. You know, and that's time of year. That's what happens. You know, you got to get hopefully you get all those injury bugs out of your system here before the second half of the season. So right now, you know, like I say, it's better late than never. With that, like I said, it was a short roundup this week. Kind of got a long interview here, but it is worth the time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting here next with Coach Randy Stewart. I am sitting with, I'm calling him the GOAT. I got Randy Stewart, former head coach of Loras College for 23 years, current head coach at Snorreville down in Georgia. During his time at Loras, Stu coached 6 national champs, 56 All-Americans. He accumulated 228 wins, which is still the most wins at Loras College in any sport. And he's currently a member of the D3 Wrestling Hall of Fame and has recently been inducted into the Georgia Hall of Fame. Since retiring from Loras in 2016, Stu went Charlie Daniels on us and went down to Georgia, where he became a head coach at Snorreville High School. Went on to win 3 traditional team state titles. And like I said before, he just got recently inducted in the Georgia Hall of Fame. Stu, my man. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Jeff?
Thank you so much for taking time out of your vacation to come up and talk.
Appreciate you.
I've wanted to have this episode for a while, but I was trying to figure out how to do it over a phone. But, I mean, why do it over a phone? We can just sit here and BS.
Yes, sir.
So, what brings you up to Iowa this time around?
See family, deliver puppies. I've just started raising lab retrievers. So I brought 3 up, sold 3 up here in this area. So I delivered those and heading home late tomorrow night.
Get back for Christmas Eve.
13-hour drive home, so.
Oh, man. I don't wish that on anyone, man.
No, but it's good.
Yeah. So, you know, just a quick backstory on your competitive career. You know, you got it started into wrestling, what, 6th grade, was it?
Yeah, you know, and I'm from DeWitt. I'm a Sabre. And 5th, 6th grade, they had an intramural tournament, like through gym class kind of thing. And then 7th grade, I just had breakfast yesterday morning with a kid that I graduated with. His dad was our middle school coach. So that was cool. But, yeah, and then, I mean, 8th grade, 7th grade, I was 2-7-2. Best friend, Rob McReynolds, who died a couple years ago. I was at his weight, and the coach made us wrestle off every week. 30 seconds was, I think, the longest I made it. And my 8th grade year, then I got into it and did it full-time, year-round. And I've been doing it ever since then. You know, we raised horses. I got out of everything and
just focused on wrestling.
And that became my passion, I guess. Probably at times it drove my parents nuts because that's all. I would skip family vacations. But yeah, it's and again, however many years later.
Yeah. You went down to Cornell, and you were a four-time national qualifier for Cornell.
Yeah,
down Mount Vernon.
And I still have regrets there that, you know, I signed a letter of intent, a half ride to University of Montana, which at that time was in the Big Sky Conference, and there were kids from Bettendorf on that team. So I flew out, first time ever on a plane, visited, signed the letter, was going to go, and I ended up dating this girl from, I think she was from Des Moines Dowling, met her through wrestling, and she was going to Iowa, so I backed out, and I ended up going to Cornell at the last minute. I mean, 2 weeks before classes started. That girl and I broke up a month into the school year.
That's classic.
So decision-making that age wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But I had a great experience at Cornell. I really did. I just had some regrets. I think that I didn't figure it out, man, because I lived wrestling in high school. College, got into some distractions probably later in my career there, and probably didn't put – I know I didn't put the time in. I should have. And had opportunity to be an All-American twice and lost in the blood round. And and that probably has kept – part of that probably put me into coaching.
Yeah, if you
not wanting kids to go through that, trying to explain that, which I'm still doing today, but you don't get to do this over, that whole thing. And so wrestled there. Then I got – wrestled for a great coach, Baron Bremner, who was a legend between Cole and Cornell. And Baron helped me. Until he died, he helped me get every job that I got, other than the Georgia job. And he had a friend who was the head coach at Northwest Missouri State. I got a GA position there.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, things really took off. And
correct me if I'm wrong, you went from Northwest Missouri State.
Then I went to Dixie Hollins High School in St. Pete, Florida. You guys know Jared Frayer. His dad was a coach at Countryside High School, which is in Clearwater. I had a part-time summer job working for a mat company, Nary's Mat Company out of Waterloo, delivering mats all over the country. That's what we did. They were refinishing them.
Mm-hmm.
And delivered one to Countryside High School and met Frayer. And a year later, he helped me get a job down there. And then went to...
Lafayette, right? Down in Georgia?
Yeah, Lafayette, Georgia. I was in Florida 3 years. Lee Dendy, a guy who I know to this day, he came and wrestled a year at Loris. They came down to a camp we were having in Florida with the Bonomo brothers. Looked them up sometime. Those guys are legends. And they started talking to me and kind of recruited me to come to Lafayette. Stayed there a year. Love. It's beautiful. That's where I'm at now. I mean, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely, it's the beginning of the Smoky Mountains. And I always said, how can I ever, I wanted to retire there. I wanted to figure out how I could actually do it. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. But stayed there a year. I was trying to move up is what I was trying to do. I wanted to get back to the college level. So at the time I thought getting to better high school programs was the way to do it. So I moved to Colorado because my buddy Rob McReynolds was there. Flew out there, interviewed, got offered two jobs. Took a job at Adams City High School, which is a really, really good, has been over the years, traditionally good program. And then got the opportunity to come back to Iowa to Ellsworth Community College. This is all in a span of 5-6 years.
Dang, dude. How many miles did you put on that car?
A lot. And probably, I don't know, I look back now, I could be retired in Florida, I could be retired in Georgia if I'd have stayed there, I could be retired in Colorado, but that wasn't really the plan at the time. And so I came back to Ellsworth as the athletic director and head wrestling coach, which was a really good experience. Had some great, great freaking athletes there. A couple of Light brothers from Lisbon,
mm-hmm.
Crozy brothers from Clarksville, Tony Johnson, who was a multiple All-American. He's from Oskaloosa originally. And then got the opportunity, the Loris thing came open. And
I was saying, how'd you get drawn to Loris?
You know, again, I just, my boss at the time at Ellsworth said, stay here. You're successful. You're going to be able to get a D1 job, like a Northern Illinois, a smaller D1, you know. And I guess I didn't believe that at the time. And the AD thing was really, really busy and took a lot of time. And again, it was fine. It was my job. But the Loris thing was teaching and coaching. And
then you came.
I grew up in DeWitt, so it was closer to home. I saw my sister there, family, my folks were there. In the area, and ended up, you know, and I told my wife at the time, I said, this is it, I promise, and we're done. And 23 years later, that's how long I stayed there.
So. Yeah. And when you first got to Loras, it wasn't obviously the program that it turned into.
Well, you know what? They'd went through about four coaches in about 10 years. And I think all good coaches, just nobody stayed there. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing. Dan Neff, who was there right before me, dude, he coached Leo Costello and that whole group. Pete Maldonado, I mean, mm-hmm. Who was the national champ.
Doc Early.
Doc Early coached there. I mean, he was before that. But, I think that the difference was, and I think that I kind of sold him on that, that I'd already moved all over the country. I was here to find a place to call home and raise my kids. And they believed me, and it worked out, and I stayed there. And again, had lots of good things, had years that weren't so good. But and at different times I wanted to leave, and I told myself, you know what, it's easy to pick up and leave because I'd done it so many times. And I said, how about trying to make this place, the situation, you know, the job, facilities, and trying to make those better. And I tried to do that, and I stayed.
Yeah, I definitely think you did. I mean, you know, you think about, like, the locker room renovation.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds
while
of
you're
stuff
there.
Like
I mean,
and I was always trying to look ahead to set it up for the next person, and so the program would be solid, you know, forever.
Yeah.
I guess I've always tried to take that approach.
And then, you know, during your time at Loras, like I just said, you had 56 All-Americans, and you had six national champs.
A lot of,
you know,
a lot of success. And, you know, I think the biggest thing from my time there, and you'll find that out as you get, I'm 64. I'm approaching, this is my year 38 as a head coach, high school and college. 41 years, I was an assistant for 3 years. It's a long time, and I think you find out as you get older and you stay into something, it's about relationships, man, and helping kids. And I think I don't want to say an expert, dude, but I think right now I'm at the best that I've ever been at that. And I know wrestling technique, I mean, all that stuff, but I spend more time trying to motivate kids, to be good people, to be successful. And when they get done wrestling, you know, I say it all the time, but man, this is a short window you get to do this, man, but this is going to carry over to 10 years from now. And I've had tons of people come back and always say that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a prime example of the lessons I learned from you. You know, I mean, there was definitely days where I'm pretty sure you wanted to wring my neck and send me home packing, but at the same time, you never gave up on me, and I never really gave up on you. And, you know, you always told, you know, the one line that I always say when I think of Stu, I always hear one line, always. Every time I said goodbye to you or something, you just say, get it done. Whatever I was doing, just get it done.
Yep.
You know, and
I think it's important.
You know, that was, you know, going through college, all 6.5 years of college, and, you know, having to figure it out and struggle, and you were always there to, you know, have my back on a lot of things. You always supported me and everything I did, except for that time I went to UD, but that's a different conversation.
It's all good.
all good. But one of the big things that, you know, I've talked about with this podcast is, you know, the history about Dubuque, and one of the strong stories about Dubuque, I still think, is the Dubuque Wrestling Club that you started in 93.
Yeah.
You know,
and everywhere I'd been, I had a club. Florida, Georgia, Colorado. Some were more formal, like the one in Florida was the USA Club. I think Georgia, it wasn't, but we still had a group we wrestled in the summer. Colorado, we had a huge club. Ellsworth, I tried there. And again, we hosted state freestyle when I was at Ellsworth. Rick Caldwell was the head coach at Iowa Falls then for 2 years, so it was kind of cool that I got to work with him. And then came to Loras, and like, you know, we need to provide something. You know, some people say, oh, you're doing it, you want to make. No, it was never about making money.
You charge $5 a kid, man.
And then you don't care if you pay or, you know,
yeah.
Whatever. It was just trying to, and I'm sure, part of it was to see if it would help recruiting, but I wanted to help wrestling in the Dubuque area. And that was, my number one goal. Like, right now, I'm trying to help wrestling in North Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And we have. Trust me, it's rocking. But, and I think, again, it progressed. And I was doing it all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember, you talk about getting on to kids, like Rick Healy, who's Hall of Fame, one of my best friends now. And I would call him because he wouldn't show up for practice. And He wasn't really into it quite yet then.
Not yet.
It's amazing the transformation that he made and where he's at now. Because he probably, I don't know if he even remembers that, but he would show up for free supper. I'm like, where the hell are you, dude? You need to be a pre-. And I'm talking those years. I mean, we had Juergens there. We had Cliff Moore. I mean, we had Keith Weber. I mean, those are just names.
Yeah.
We had kids that
the
went on.
The Pape Brothers.
We had kids that went on and had a lot of success at all levels. And they were all coming there. It just kind of happened, and it was cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
Juergens' dad worked at John Deere, and you know, just everything. We got connected, and
yeah, we had.
All I wanted was a place for good kids to come and work out.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything,
I just always looked at it as a great. For us, it was, you know, it was mat time, but also it was seeing kids that you weren't gonna see.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously before the super clubs happened.
Yeah,
you know,
way before that.
Yeah, you know, but at the same time. It was kind of an unsaid super club. I mean, you think of the aspects of, you know, you had kids from all the Dubuque schools, Cascade, Maquoketa. If you could drive here, I mean, I remember kids from DeWitt would come up.
Yeah, and different times, you know, we had kids, some kids from Wisconsin. And, you know, and I'm trying to recruit. I mean, I'm busier than a one-legged man at an ass-kicking contest. But it always was important to try and do that a couple nights a week. And then it mushroomed, and I kind of let go of it and let other people do it. For a chance to make some money and also still impact wrestling.
Yeah.
So,
and I think, like, you know, I give credit. Like, Mark Schultz, when he took it over, you know, he put a lot of stock
in that.
And
the other big thing I kind of remember was, you know, and everybody's territorial. I'm very territorial myself as a high school coach. They didn't want their kids come working out. You know, I don't know what their thought. Mine is, because in Georgia, I feel like if there's some clubs that they go, my kids go work out there, they're trying to recruit them to come. And I'm like, I don't have time for that. And I'm fortunate we can do a lot of stuff at our place in Georgia. But I really tried to work through that. And I was like, man, it's just come here and work out. It's not about anybody moving and doing, going from senior to Hempstead or Walt. You know, that was never my issue.
Yeah. And I don't think that's any of our issues.
But it was at one point. It really was when it first got going. And I think gradually it changed. And hopefully I had something to do with helping change that.
I always looked at it, you know, I always kind of looked at it, you know, when people were worried about that type of stuff, I said, you know, as soon as we start doing that, this thing dies.
But the you deal, know, and it is true, but the deal is, let's have, my always deal was, tried to sell it to guys, was let's have one central location where two nights a week, everybody can come in here and wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do a little technique and get better. That's the bottom line, get better. You can do your own thing the other nights of the week or whatever, but, and again, I think we had some pretty decent success with it.
I think so too. I mean, obviously, even for, you know, the simple fact that, you know, it wasn't a sanctioned, you know, it wasn't like a, excuse me, it wasn't a, like, you know, we're traveling as a group or anything like that, but anything like that. It was just literally like us just going into Loris's room and scrapping out.
It was a place to work out.
Yeah.
Is really what it was. And
yeah.
That's all that I intended it to be.
For sure.
So.
And then, you know, towards the end of your career, you know, you got a national champ in 2014. You know, you had, again, I can't stress that enough, 56 All-Americans, you know, Malcolm Watson being your last one.
Yeah,
I talked
that was
to him.
Cool.
I talked to him just this morning about you, and he was getting really excited knowing that you were going to be on the podcast. And, you know, first thing he says, Stu's my dog. And so so, you know, I think about that type of stuff. We're going to grab a quick break here, and then, you know, we're going to talk about this next phase that you've been in down in Georgia.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. Guys, go to Moskies. Just do yourself a favor and go to Moskies. Moskies Barbecue, located in Cascade, has some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Located right off the 136 exit in Cascade, Bryce and Shauna do nothing but great work. You've seen their food truck in Dubuque. You've seen their catering at weddings. Now go to the brick and mortar and enjoy some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Great people, great wrestling family. They love wrestling as much as you guys listening. So do yourself a favor, stop down Moskies, get some barbecue today. At Lane's Custom Steel, they have been offering custom powder coating solutions to businesses and individuals since 2019. Their skilled team of professionals are dedicated to providing you with high quality finishes that will last many years. Email Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. And we're back here with Stu. So, you know, 2016, you get the opportunity to retire from Loris and take a job at Sonoraville in Georgia. And, you know, to me, obviously, like, it was probably one of the saddest days of my life. But I was so happy for you. But obviously, you know, I think you and I both shed a lot of tears that day when you told me. Because at first I kind of thought you were joking, and then the realization set in. We're like, shit, dude, like the dude that I've been around every day for the last 10 years is going to be gone. And but then, you know, obviously, like, that's just part of life. And, you know, you and I, you even kind of said, too, it's like you're I remember I remember, like, through tears in my eyes, I'm like, Stu, I can't do this without you. And you looked at me and you're like, dude, look at you. You're getting married. You just bought a house. Like, you're set, man.
Yeah.
You're set. And so the Georgia thing, you know, it kind of came out of left field, didn't it?
Well, I would tell you, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. You know, and I don't want to say I retired. I guess you can say I retired. I resigned from Morris. I didn't really retire. It seems like you retired now. No, actually, I'm still working.
Yeah.
But I get it. But people say that. But out of the blue, Lee Dendy, this kid who was recruited me to Lafayette, Georgia. And I only stayed there a year. We were kind of homesick. We wanted to get back to the Midwest. And we left. And I went, my mom, in the meantime, moved to Murphy, North Carolina, which is about 2 hours north of where I'm at right now, from Calhoun, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the kids down. We went on vacation 5-6 times every summer because I love, for whatever reason, I love that area. I always said, man, I'm going to retire down here. How am I going to do it? Lee Dendy literally calls me out of the blue. Coach, if you ever want to come back to Georgia, there is a job open right now. We got two freshmen that are state champs, blah, 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 blah. Sent my application in. The day I'm going to do the phone, Skype, I guess is what they called it at that time, interview, I'm sitting there. I went home and told nobody. At that time, my wife, Lori's the only one that knew. And I finally sat and said, I'm not going to do this. I can't do it. They're not gonna, I'm 57 years old. There's no way they're going to hire me. She's finally like, do the interview. We do the interview. 2 minutes into it, their connection goes bad. It has to end up being a phone interview. So I'm like, there's no way. Ended up talking to the AD, the principal, one of the dads, who ended up between his four kids. They won 8 state titles for me, as me as the head coach, and a board member. And ended up talking for an hour and a half. Progressed. They didn't have a PE position. Then a week later, calling back, they got a PE position. Salary was a big increase from what I was making at Lors. So I went down twice, checked it out. The second time I went down, maybe it was the first time, we're sitting in the office with the principal, me and Lori, and he goes, you got to fill out this county application. And I'm like, all right, let me use this computer. I said, no, this is not going to go to anybody else. Like, I haven't told Lori, so I haven't told anybody. No, you're good. Do it. So I hit submit. Boom. 10 minutes later, I get in my car, and Greg Capel, who was an AD at Lawrence during my career, and was at Colorado College, is calling me on the phone. He goes, what in the hell are you doing applying for a job in Georgia? And I just went, shit. I said, because Denise was the other name I put on there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Denise just got that email request for a letter of recommendation.
Yep.
So I told Capel and whatever, it's all good. I'm sitting in the car waiting left the parking lot. Calls Denise. I'm like, Denise. She's like, yeah. I said, I was wondering if you were going to call me. And I told her the story.
Yep.
And I said, I'll tell you what, I have no idea what I'm doing yet, but when I get home, and I said, I'll come in and talk to her. And so then finally everything worked out. And you talk about decision. I told you about my decision making for college. It was because of a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Who I broke up with a month after college started. It was a horrible decision. This one, I think, is one of the better decisions in life, you know, that I made. It was a time that, this was a time that I could do it. My kids were out of high school. My kids have both moved there since, which mm-hmm. is awesome. And it was just fit. And I got a great feeling that the AD is the basketball coach. In the transition of 8 years, his wife is now the superintendent. I mean, it's a really, 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 I'm on our third principal from the guy that hired me. The admin is outstanding. It's a wrestling school.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened in 2006.
So really?
It's not old.
Okay.
No. And, you know, you go and we've got all the banners in the gym. Obviously, wrestling is the only sport that, not obviously, but wrestling is the only sport that's won a state title. And we've won 3 of them. And multiple. I mean, my first 6 years, we were top two.
Mm.
So it was good. I had a great group of freshmen. You know, I had 3 or 4 four-time placers. I had a four-time champ. And we had little kids coming, and it's been a, and we kind of, all these kids, I had thought I had them spaced out enough to where we could keep, and then we moved, we were in 3A. There are now six classes in Georgia. We got bumped up to 4A a year ago, and it, I was telling somebody last night, 4A, there's three or four schools. Lovett is a private school. Billy Maldonado's the head coach, or has been for a while. He was an All-American at Iowa State, was the team captain when Cale Sanderson was there. So, man, he's good.
Oh, yeah.
And has become a pretty good friend of mine. But there's three or four programs like that that we don't have right now. We don't have the kids to compete with. But so they reclassify you every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our last year of 4A. Next year, this is crazy, man, because I got 2 years left. And I'm thinking, I don't know if we're ever going to have a chance to compete for a title. We are now the biggest school in 2A. The number one school enrollment size in 2A. And that gives us some opportunity, I think. Now, does it mean it's going to happen? No. But I think we have the kids, and we got some kids coming up that I think we can be in the hunt for a trophy. And obviously, I want to win, try and win another title. So it's just... But I had a core group of kids when I got there. Alan Stone, again, you don't know these kids. He's a four-time placer. He now coaches at Jefferson High School, if you look them up, they won 18 straight Georgia titles, dual and traditional. We were the team that stopped both their streaks. And he's now coach. He's an assistant coach there. But his mom's the math department chair at school. I mean, so just lots of good support. And... it's important, man, and it's really important. And, you know, I came home one year with a fourth-place trophy 2 years ago, maybe. Just kind of slammed it on my AD's desk, and he got all mad at me. He's like, dude, you got fourth. I'm like, yeah, because that's your expectation. My expectation, we wanted to win it. And his expectation was to win it. But it gave me some, I guess I've gained some balance, because we got our butts kicked a little bit this last year, and I think you need balance, because I have been 100% freaking wrestling and 11 months of the year, and that's part of the reason we've been good, because a lot of the programs down there, the 2A type program, are not doing that. And
right, a lot of force.
Our players. Average kids are beating other teams' good kids,
mm-hmm.
You know. And so it's been good. We just wrestled, and I think we have, I don't know, the weakest, but not one of the strongest teams we've had this year. Lots of new faces, and we wrestled a 2A team the other night. Murray County, and we're going to be competing against them next year. We scored 60 points on them, and you know, we're not going to score 60 points on a lot of people this year, I don't think. But it's been a great transition. I got a really nice house and 2 acres, kind of in a little town, it's 250 people, so if you even call it a town, but it's kind of country. I love the country. I love the mountains, the outdoor.
Yeah.
It's a great fit, and it's a place that I wanted to be and never knew how I was going to be able to go back there other than vacation. And now it's days and people bitch about me. And I'm like, dude, I'm basically living someplace that I'm on vacation.
Definitely, so, yeah.
You know?
Now, like, so in your coaching career, did you find the move rejuvenating?
Yeah, you know what? Because high school's different. I mean, we don't practice on Saturdays. I mean, stuff like that. I was so shocked when I first got there. I'm like, dude, what time are you practice there? Coach, we don't practice on Saturday. You don't do it. And
you know,
so that took about a year of adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it's absolutely, you love it. And I just pick times and different times of the year where we're training. Like, we wrestle the whole month of June.
Mm-hmm.
Practice 2 days a week. And then we have these, they call them summer duels. You basically go to other schools, there'll be 8-10 teams there. You don't have to wait. You weigh them in at home, and we match them up and have duels. We don't keep team scores. So I have kids get 30 matches the month of June.
Wow.
And it's low-key. And then month of July, we do nothing.
Yeah, and not to look negatively on your college days, but, like, you know, as a college coach, you're dealing with boys that are becoming men.
Yep.
You know, that have 99 problems.
And I think the difference, and I can tell you is, I have a lot more impact, I think, on high school age kids, you know, middle school kids, than I'm able to have more impact than, and I think I was able to impact college kids, not as many, because you already said it, man. They're starting to become young men. They've got their mind made up. They're, you know, I've had a lot of those kids come back and say, man, I wish I'd have listened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm just like, really? Still saying that.
I know. And, you know, like...
It's not that hard, man. Show up, do the work.
A high school kid doesn't...
Be the best you can be.
But a high school kid doesn't have to worry about paying his rent. He doesn't have to worry about...
And that's a cop-out, dude.
I went
to college. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that's
a
cop-out.
I know. 24 hours
and to me, that's excuses. And I don't want to come out for wrestling because I got to get a job. You're freaking 15 years old. You got to get a job. You got 60 years to work.
Yeah, that's true.
And that to me, that's the stuff I deal with now. And it drives me crazy still. And always will. And I guess it's getting to the point it doesn't drive me crazy. And you know what that tells me? It's time to be done, Stu. And I'm ready to be done.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be the guy. And I promised myself. My wife will tell you this because in the 7 years we've been married, she's got to see this whole deal and everything that's going with it. That I'm not going to be the guy that rides off into the sunset in my last years. I'm sass. You know what, dude? I'm going to
just coast.
Half-ass it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to half-ass it. And as hard as that is not to do, I'm not. I'm a very stubborn person, probably to a fault. And sometimes that hurts me, probably. But I think in a lot of cases it helps me. And once I can get kids to come over that hump and really trust me, I mean trust me, that, dude, if you do this, we're gonna make something happen. And I think it's not as hard to do that at the high school level. And I would tell you this, man, I was talking to Gloucester, I just do not miss the recruiting piece because that's all I did. And sometimes then you spend all your time on a kid and recruit him and it's not the right kid. And then you got to try and deal with that.
Get a backup plan on it.
And so, I mean, that's a different part. And I tell guys, and they're just like, you're 23 at college, 25 years with Ellsworth. What do you think? And I, part of me says, now, I just told you, man, if I'd have stayed at the high school level, I'd be retired.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, because I always did what I wanted to do, and I did it. And you don't get do-overs. I'm trying to tell kids that. You don't get do-overs, man, and I don't get one. But you know what? I think I've made the best of it. And my point again right now is I'm 64 years old. Half the school calls me grandpa, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think that helps them. They trust me. I'm kind of a redneck myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very rural, redneck type school. And even though I'm 64, I think I can still connect with kids, and a lot of them. And the ones that do connect, dude, we have a lot of success. And that's what I'm most proud of. And just like last night, dude, you were there. We went to the doghouse and there's 15 guys there, whatever. Brody Toopey, who I never got to coach, shows up. I mean, I was on the home visit, and it was a funny story. I mean,
you broke, almost busted your ankle, didn't you?
Yes, on the freaking front porch or whatever. And he shows up last night. I said, that to me, that's what my coaching career is about now. And as you get to this phase of your life, you know, I'm in the twilight, bro. Twilight. And I've talked to Coach Healy about this different times. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's next. You know, I said, I've got to find a purpose. I'm not just going to be the guy who retires and goes and has coffee every morning. I did nothing against that, but I'm not going to do that. So I started this thing, raising these dogs. I think that's given me some purpose. I'm going to work out like a madman because I don't have time to spend on myself. I got a 60-inch, I believe the name of this mower is called a Bad Boy. It's a zero turn. I'm going to try and find some lawns and mow some lawns part-time. And again, that's going to be my purpose. And
go all in.
And that's it. But I'm telling you what, man, it's just a lot. And then this National Hall of Fame thing through the Georgia chapter. And the guy that's kind of sponsored, you get a sponsor. It was blew me away because I went to a meeting last weekend, 2 weekends ago. It's the Jefferson coach.
Oh, really?
I mean, and he's just, dude, I don't know if there's anybody better in the United States that's won 36 state titles in his time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they're still rocking it.
Mm-hmm.
One of his kids took over, and Doug Thurman is his name, and he's my. The year we beat them in the traditional tournament, we beat them by a point and a half. His heavyweight had to beat the North Hall heavyweight for us to win. So we're sitting there. They had split during the year. It goes overtime.
Oh, Jesus.
the freaking, and I'm standing really with the Jefferson coaches. We'd kind of gotten, even though we'd beat them, we'd kind of gotten to be friends, and the kid wins, the Jefferson kid wins, so we win the title. The Jefferson coach presents the trophy to us.
That's pretty cool.
Classy.
Yeah.
And I told his heavyweight, I went and found his heavyweight. I didn't know him from Adam. I said, dude, if I ever see you in a bar for the rest of my life, you will drink for free every time I see you. And he looked at me like, I said, dude, I'm the Snorbo coach. And then he started laughing. And
That's pretty epic, dude. One of my new sponsors, Eric Doughty Concrete. For those who know Eric Doughty, a former Hempstead wrestling great, state medalist, has a concrete company here in Dubuque, and he would love to give you guys a quote today. Give him a call at 563-543-594, and he will set you up right. Eric Doughty Concrete. Want to take a quick break here to mention our great sponsors at Raider Outdoor Power. Stop out at 2580 Rockdale Road, and one of their great sales staff will have you set up for the best equipment and top-of-the-line service you can expect from a company who has helped the Dubuque County area since 1957.
So we're at this point, you know, and it's like, I mean, so they win, we win, everybody's going crazy. It's our second title. We'd beaten Jefferson, which they were in a different class the year before, and blah, blah. And it's like, I just remember it was like 5:30, and I get a phone call, and it's Rob.
Mm-hmm.
First guy, and we'd gotten done 10 minutes earlier, and he's following, I guess, on track, I don't remember the rest of it, and it was just cool.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Just a surreal moment.
2018, right?
In 2019.
19, okay.
And then we won it again in 2020. Then the fourth, trying to go for our fourth title, we're ahead by 5.5 points. It was COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing third and fourth on one mat, first and second on the other. Our heavyweight wins the title. So we're done. Rockmart has two guys left, 220 and heavyweight. And all they have to do is not pin their guy.
Mm-hmm.
They could win both their matches, and we're going to win by 0.5 point. They pin both their guys. We lose by whatever it was. And to sit there.
Highest of highs, lowest of lows, man.
To sit there and watch that, and it's just like, I mean. And we were down 20 the first night. Freaking came roaring back on day two, and that was a lost opportunity, and that's the one that I'll never forget. And
yeah.
People are like, how are you ever going to forget those? Those titles are great, but, dude, I wanted the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, because we put ourselves in position, and we didn't have a team that was favored, and then we got third the year after that. And so, I mean, I'm sitting here whining about it, but when you get in a situation where you can be the best,
yeah.
You want to be the best every year.
Yeah.
And that's been the hardest thing of people talking about, because I read stuff all the time about successful, whatever it is, coaches, business. Once you're on top, trying to stay there, it wears you out.
For sure.
And we're going to try and make one more run, I guess, is my plan right now. And, you know, when I got in a car accident the week before the state tournament this year. I've had two knees, a knee replacement, a knee scope, and an elbow ligament thing done in a span of about 6 weeks, and I'm still walking with the cane, so that's been a struggle, but I'm getting better, and so I'm really looking forward to the second half of our season, which we kick off basically next Friday, and then the next 2 years.
Yeah,
Coach Holmes is with me.
Mm-hmm.
Guys know Matt Holmes is an All-American for us at Loras, Illinois State champ,
former roommate.
He's been there 5 years. He's the lead special education teacher, just got promoted about the beginning of the school year. So they love him. I'm hoping he's going to be my successor. Just hired Ian Clark, who was one of the three state champs my first year. He wrestled at Life for OMI and then was a GA for OMI for 2 years. So he's learned, trust me, what it's all about from OMI. And then we got Kenny Cooper, who was a state runner-up and went on. He was a heavyweight. He was on a full ride scholarship, was a lineman at Georgia Tech.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we got him hired back to coach football, and he's coaching. And it's his first year. But Holmes just got deployed. I don't know how many people know that.
I did see that.
He's a National Guard. So he left Thanksgiving. He's been at Fort Stewart in Georgia. And we'll get to see him. He's going to be back next week for a couple of days. But then he's going to Kosovo till next November.
Oh, wow.
So he's gone. He's a medic. I guess that's obviously it's an important deal in the units, and so that's going to hurt. That's killed me, because he's literally my right hand man. And
yeah, and he's he's probably as loyal as they come. He's always been that guy.
He does. He's good. He wrestles. He can, you know, he wrestles every day. He's freaking 32 years old. Good news, Ian can wrestle. So what I'm looking forward to next year is I've got both those guys back in the room, and watch out for a good two-year run.
For sure. So the Hall of Fame in Georgia kind of came out of left field.
Well, I mean, a couple years ago, the Jefferson Costey, we're talking about this Hall of Fame, he's on the board for Georgia. And every state has a chapter.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to send this up to you, fill it out, and like, whatever. And I kind of forgot about it. And I said, well, I didn't get in. I'm not going to ever get in there. And then this year, Bud Hannibal, he works for Resolite. He worked for the National Wrestling Coaches. He's like the guy in wrestling in Georgia who I've become pretty good friends with. He calls me and he's like, I just had surgery. And he's trying to figure out, he goes, we want to get this done. He goes, we're trying to figure out, we thought maybe you wanted, since you're from Iowa, you wanted to go in through Iowa. Or, he goes, we want you to go in through, and I said, Bud, I know I grew up and spent a majority of my life in Iowa, but I live in Georgia. I'm going to die in Georgia. I'd be honored. It would be my personal preference to do Georgia. And the next thing, Thanksgiving time is when I found out.
That's
and,
awesome.
And it's just, I mean, you think of.
I got really.
Put 40 some years in and of something, doing something that you love. And it's just being recognized for it. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I was sitting at our in-laws Thanksgiving and just having to check my phone, and I saw that, and immediately I just had a smile across my face. Cause
so it was a shock when they called me.
Yeah.
You can't tell anybody till like Thanksgiving, because they were trying to notify their seven guys going in.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, dude, it was just, it blew me away. Ian Clark was with me. We were driving. This is hilarious. We're driving to freaking, because they called me and said, did you get the certified letter? They sent me a FedEx letter, and I got it. And I went and picked Ian Clark up. We were delivering a dog, a puppy, to Paducah, Kentucky. Zach Fox was driving from DeWitt to meet us. And that's when I found out.
That's cool.
So
looking back on, you know, again, I'm not trying to say you ain't done yet. I know you ain't done.
No, and I get that.
But
I'm doing a lot of reflecting. Trust me.
Okay, so in your time of reflecting, you know, favorite rivalries that you had in the last 40 years.
40 years?
If you could pick three.
I could pick one. I could, everywhere I've been, I'll pick one.
Okay.
I mean, I think when I was in Florida, it was Countryside High School. Jared Frayer's dad, David Frayer, they were the king. And we beat them for a conference title my second year. Matter of fact, before I left, the year I left to go to Lafayette, I got offered, he was going to step down and be my assistant, and I was going to take over at Countryside. I really thought about staying it, but we wanted to get out of Florida. And they won a state title that year, by the way.
Go figure.
Came to Lafayette, and I was only in Lafayette a year, so it was hard to really figure out. I mean, Rockmart, which we're still battling today, and they're 2A next year as well. Probably Rockmart. It was just, and they're, again, these are programs that are, Colorado, again, I was there just a year. I didn't get a sense we had a big rival there, you know, just that short time. Ellsworth, you know, Iowa Central was a big rival. And we, my first year, because second year, we pounded them. It was awesome. You know, and then obviously, you know, at Loras, I mean, it's frustrating. 23 years, you try and beat somebody and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You came close a couple times. That's the best you can say about it. But, I mean, Wartburg set the bar. You know, and then the other schools, Luther, I mean, Coe, those guys brought home trophies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all I wanted to do was bring home, you know, get a trophy, and it's hard, man.
Oh, definitely.
We had teams different years where I thought we could, and it didn't work, and for whatever reason.
National tournament's a completely different story.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, and we always seem like we wrestled pretty good at the national tournament. And now, Sonorville, you know, it's Rockmart. I can pick out four or five teams that we're trying to beat, and there's no really local. Like, our local rival is Calhoun High School, and they're 5A right now, and we beat them by 12 points the other night. We never lost to them. And the other school, Gordon Central, they're in our school district. Like, there's us and Gordon Central. We put 60 points on them. So, yeah, you look back at that kind of stuff. And I guess the biggest thing, when I start reflecting, just, you know, probably just more thinking about the kids you had. What are they doing? You know, and I have kids in every place I've been that I'm still in some kind of contact with. And that part is the coolest.
Yeah.
And then the whole new deal, you know, I'm in my late 50s, and start this whole new thing, and I got a whole new group of coaching friends. You know, all through, again, it's wrestling, dude. All my friends, I don't have many friends that aren't wrestlers.
Yeah.
Or aren't connected to wrestling. And that's, and obviously you know it, and anybody that's listening knows it, that this is one huge family, and it's just, you find out, I don't have cauliflower here, but you find out, you see somebody with cauliflower, you gotta make them know they're a wrestler. Mm. You wear a t-shirt that says Gable Gold, and is that Dan Gable? You know, I'll be in the airport or something. Is that Dan Gable? Yeah, and then you start talking about, well, I know so-and-so. Well, I know, I can't believe you know him. And
it's great. It really is.
And that's life. And that's, again, that's been the path. And you know, the relations I've made, I've got to travel, be in almost every state in the continental United States. I mean, 95% of them because of wrestling. I know somebody in almost every state because of wrestling that I could call and say, dude, I'm coming. Can you hook me up with something?
Yeah.
And
even in Alaska, you call B Young up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like that. Kids that wrestle for you or coaches, you know, or... And it's, that part is cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you what, dude, and I said I do want to ride off into the sunset, and I'm looking forward to, because you worry about it as you get older, you find out, number one, you're not invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've figured that out, trust me, because since I moved to Georgia, I lost my best friend, I lost my mom and my dad, and I lost my favorite uncle. Who taught me how to drive, hired me for 8 summers in a row, high school and college, and painted for him. He died 2 years ago. So you start to understand loss. You start to understand you're not invincible. You start to understand, man, that if you ever listen to Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London, he was on David Letterman. I swear to God, maybe I've told you this.
Hard times.
And I'll tell you again, because I have a sign at my house. And David Letterman said, you know, you got throat cancer, Warren. You've had an obviously unbelievable life. You know, what did you say to everybody? And I still can't believe it. He said, enjoy every sandwich. And that's so simple.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I'm trying to enjoy every sandwich right now, Jeremy. And I'm hoping, I'm 64, and I keep telling Lori, it's like, God, just let's just pray. Let's stay healthy. Give us 15 years that we can enjoy us and a life, and we're done with this part of our life, and we move to a new deal. And I just, that's what I hope. And
for sure. This is going to be an impossible question. I don't even know why I want to ask it, but
go ahead.
Most memorable athlete, and coach.
I do that different times just when I'm randomly starting to think. I'll be doing it Friday night or Saturday morning when I'm driving back 13 hours by myself. I try and do it by places I've been.
Yeah.
And pick out the top two or three.
Mm.
I mean, so there's all different. And what do you say? Okay, why is he the best? What, the hardest worker, the hardest this, the most talent. You know, the kid that didn't work the hardest and had the most results. You know, I mean, it's easy to sit and look. You know, Scott Steffel was a JUCO national champ, came in and won another one. I mean, that's why we brought him in.
Yeah.
Ricky Caceres wasn't. Ricky Caceres wasn't a state champ in high school. I mean, that kid, he's probably one of the just you talk about. Everybody knows him,
mm-hmm.
Crazy, but the kid worked, and he, hardest worker, would do anything. He probably was the number one buy-in kid in 40 years. Number one buy-in kid that, Rick, you need to go in a sauna, we're going to put all the stuff on you, you're going to get on the bike, you're going to ride for 35 minutes. I mean, he would go do it. Sit outside my office on the exercise bike while I'm calling recruits, do not stop pedaling. Come back out, he's freaking...
Might kill your cat on the way out, but
exactly. And yeah, there's lots of other stories with Rick.
Yep.
But just as far as hard work and wanted something and bought into the dream, he'd be one. But just everywhere I've been, and now they got this Trevor Burdick, you know, was a 4-time state champ. He's an easy one to pick because he's won 12 state titles from little kids. He's that holds the record in Georgia.
Oh, really?
And I got to coach him.
That's pretty good.
I got to coach him. I get to talk to him. His parents are awesome. They remodeled part of her house. His dad did, dad and brother. There's just so many that I would be doing disservice if I sit and said,
This guy.
Ricky Caceres, you're the best kid. Yeah, Rick, you're one of the best. You know, just a kid the other day, Charlie Brown wrestles at life, was a state champ for me. His dad texted, Charlie had back surgery. He's finally perfect. He goes, you're the only one that could ever get through to him. He goes, you're one of a kind. I mean, out of nowhere, I get those texts at this point in my life, and that's... And we were trying to decide, the guys were trying to pick Charlie Brown or 2-time state champ Jeb Knight well, Holmes and them take Jeb Knight and Charlie wanted to come back and fight him, you know? I'm like, dude, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful and fortunate that everywhere I've been, there's some places I've had 15 really good kids. Some places, you know, I've had 3 or 4 and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the ones I'm going to have now. I got a little 8th grader named Luke Mueller, who I think is going to be, he's a little badass and he's going to be hell on wheels and hopefully he's going to help lead us this next group.
Mm-hmm.
I got 2 years left, dude. I mean, the sophomores, they're my last group. The guys that are sophomores right now, and that's humbling, you think. And trust me, there's many days like I can't freaking wait to do it, but I still get in. I still run practice. Try to make it meaningful. Still trying to impact them. I still try to be a hard ass when I have to be. I try to not be one when I don't have to be. And I think I said the last thing I'll say, dude, is, you know, to me, the key to success, and the places where I had really good teams and we had good success and where I'm at right now is I have good relationship with the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and they respect you and they respect you because you respect them and that you're trying to help make them better, period.
For sure.
So.
All right. Well, I think that's all I got. But one last question I ask
you. How many last questions do you have? And I'll talk to you till 2 in the morning. I love to talk wrestling.
I know.
Oh, I love to talk about my life.
Yeah.
I think it's been crazy.
And trust me, like I do catch myself saying last question. But no, this usually I end every episode of the podcast that I interview people.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
You talk about, and I thought about this when I'm watching your different stuff, you talk about legacy. And that's another big thing with me that no matter where I've been, I always wanted the place to be better when I leave than it was when I came in. And mm-hmm. I think I'd knock on wood, I would hope that most people would say that. And I look at now, Dubuque area wrestling, you got the head coach at West Dubuque, one of the best programs in the state, Paul Cleary. I recruited the guy here. Man, his brother was here. And it was a hard recruit. It was a hard sell. He might not have come here. And so West Dubuque wouldn't be what it is. They wouldn't have Paul Cleary.
Yeah.
Joe Allen, who I kind of got close with Joe like his senior year because he was football and wrestling. And since then, I mean, I don't say we talk all the time, but, dude, I know that I can reach out to him, boom, if I got an issue. Or if he'll have one, he'll bounce stuff off of me.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So there's another head coach I got to coach. Senior. I mean, come on, dude.
That's OG grandson
talk about,
there.
Talk about legacy there.
Yeah,
I'm Grandpa. Grandpa Stu. And we got Jackson who, you know, I got pictures of Jackson, team pictures at conference up in, I think it was at Luther. And Jackson's in the front row of the picture. Mm-hmm. Rick's a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
And he's the head coach at senior now. I mean, I'm proud of that. And I have had a great relationship with the Haas family. We competed against Savannah High School in high school. Chuck was their 89-pounder, beat the hell out of one of my best friends at the time from DeWitt. And I had a little pull and tried to help when Chuck got that job. And really, I really, really pushed hard for him, and he got it. And he's obviously the rest is history
there. Yeah.
He's done a phenomenal job. And now you talk about legacies. His family's going to carry it on. I mean, that's the other thing I think about wrestling that's so cool. And it's humbling.
Yeah.
You sit and look at like now all these guys are running the show and spreading the same message, hopefully, you know, and so you affect more people, man. So
for sure.
Anyway,
favorite shoes you ever rocked?
Well, I'll tell you this, man. You guys that know me know I've been Asics because I was always so mad at Nike because Phil Knight, I guess, is at Nike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they dropped wrestling at the University of Oregon, and that's his like where they're. Home base, was, and never should have dropped it. They should have it back. So I said, I'm not wearing freaking Nike. I'm not doing it. And I never did. Until this guy in Iowa, I mean, this summer, like I said, man, I need a pair of shoes. I need some Gables. He didn't have them. He sent me these, what are they called?
Nike Inflex.
Inflex. I walked into practice, which I can't wear shoes right now.
Yeah.
I can't tie them. That's why I have green hospital socks on and flip-flops. But I walked in last summer when you mailed those to me, Worm. And the kids all just like, you could hear them, they're like tapping. I'm like, what's he doing? Because I made it very clear to everywhere I've been mm-hmm. that I hate freaking Nike.
Oh, I told Rick, I told Healy when you asked me for some shoes, I'm like, and I sent you a picture, and you're like, send me those Inflex. I text Rick and I went, did you check the weather? He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, hell just froze over, bro. Stu's wearing Nikes. He's like, you know what? You need to send those shoes down there with tape on every Nike logo just to say.
Because I would do that.
Yeah. Shit. And he's like, you need
to. You know what? I don't know what I did. I said, they look good. I like black and gold because I'm a Hawkeye forever. Mm-hmm. And we're black and red. We're West Dubuque colors. Mm-hmm. And I love our deal. But, dude, I put them on. And I'm like, you know what, dude?
They're all right. They're yep. good. They're yeah. good.
So though, it'll be 41 years. It'll be 43 years total when I'm done in 2 years. 40 as a head coach. And I'm ending my career, my ASICS career, wearing a pair of Nikes every day to practice for them. So that's hats off to you, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. I mean, I appreciate it.
I want a pair of shoes. I don't want to go spend a bunch of money on a pair of shoes to wear to practice for an hour. I don't wrestle much anymore. But I want to look good, and you're like, I got just what you need. And I'm like, no, man, this ain't, I ain't going to do this. Send them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
If I'll be honest with you. I was thinking, well, if I don't like them, I'll just give them to one of my kids. And I can't do worm like that, number one. And two, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I mean,
So I'm growing. At age 64, I'm still growing and broadening my horizons.
I tell kids all the time that when I used to have, or I traded a pair of Harley Davidson boots for a pair of black Rulons that you had that were never worn. And I was like, I just robbed Stu blind. So when you told me that you needed some shoes, I was like, hell yeah, dude, I got you. So, all right, brother, thank you so much for coming.
Dude, I thank you because I listened to this. I thought it was very cool. It's promoting wrestling, which has always been one of my biggest things. And just I feel like I had an impact on wrestling in this area because I was here forever. Mm-hmm. And just talking about the coaches and it's great to see it carried on, and I think Jackson's going to do a really nice job at senior.
Mm-hmm.
With his dad, so I think his dad's going to help some, and yeah, man, it's cool. And so it's humbling that you asked me to do this, and I know I don't live here anymore, and I'm like, God, I would love to be able to share my insight with you and with everybody that listens to this thing. So,
for sure, bro.
It's cool. Yeah. And Neil Costello told me last night, goes, whenever you come to Dubuque, you never have to pay for anything as long as you let people know you're coming. That's pretty humbling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure all of us, when we found out you were coming, like, we're all like, clear your damn schedule.
Joe Wall cuts his business trip a day short and drives 6 hours yesterday to get back so he can see. I mean, dude, come on.
Yeah.
That's priceless.
Yeah, it is.
And I hope they all know how much it all means to me, so.
Right on, brother. Thanks again for listening. Follow us at Worms Weigh-In on Instagram or follow us at Dubuque Area Sports Podcast on Facebook. Before we go, I just want to give one last shout out to Raider Outdoor Power, Mosky's Barbecue, Eric Doughty Concrete, Lane's Custom Steel, Gravel Grading and Excavating, Cascade Athletic Club, Big Game Wrestling Club, Dubuque Wrestling Club, Leonard Funeral Home, Kramer Pest Control, Jared Levy at Exit Realty, and Spine and Sport Chiropractic Center. I'm so thankful for you guys' sponsorships. I hope you guys go out and use their business, support their business any way you guys can. Give them follows on social media. Use their business. It's truly appreciated.